Yeah, let's sing a song. You ready? Jesus loves the little children, all the children of the world. Red and yellow, black and white, they are precious inside. And that song bugs me. Do you know why? What if you're pink and purple polka dotted?
No!
No? Do you think Jesus loves you if you're pink and purple polka dotted?
No!
You know, he does. Even if someone were pink and purple polka dotted, or with green hair. I've seen some people with green hair, have you? Green hair. Yeah. Regardless of whatever color they are, regardless of who they are, even regardless of what they do, Jesus loved them, Jesus died for them, and also Jesus rose for them, just like he did with me and you. So if Jesus loves us, no matter what color we are, no matter what we look like, no matter where we're from, that means I don't have to love anybody because Jesus loves them, right? I don't have to love you because Jesus already loves you. You're covered. Is that how it works? Who am I supposed to love? I'm supposed to love the same people Jesus loves. And if Jesus loves us all, I'm supposed to love everybody. And that's what... So, are you supposed to love everybody too? You are. Are you supposed to love me? Even as weird as I am? Are you sure? You are. Because Jesus loves me, and that means you're supposed to love me too. Okay, if you're 3 to 3rd grade, go next door with Doug and Jenny. You're going to actually have a little bit shorter Bible time. We're going to call you back in a little bit earlier. So, we'll cut it short by a few minutes. Sorry. I meant to tell you before now. We'll come and get you later. No. Oh, 3 through 5 years old, or 3 through pre-K. That's who's going next door today. Is it a bad sign that Samson doesn't want to go with you? Okay. Today we're going to do something a little bit special, but that's going to be toward the end. But to start us off, I want to tell you a joke. I don't always start off with jokes. And sometimes they're good, sometimes they're not. Bear with me if you think it's not a good joke. And the problem is, this is an Aggie joke. And we don't have any Aggies anymore. I'm sad. I don't have anybody to stick it to because there's no Aggies here anymore. They all moved back down south. So, but here it goes anyway. We can laugh at their expense. Or you can cringe at the bad joke it is at their expense, whichever. Well, there's this man, he's driving along, and he comes along the sheep herder with tons and tons of sheep, hundreds of them. And he has to stop the car because they're crossing the road, and he gets out and he starts looking over the sheep, and he sees the shepherd, and he goes, "If I tell you exactly how many sheep you've got, will you let me have one?" The man says, "Exactly?" And I say, "Yeah, exactly to the number." The shepherd thinks, "No way, it's impossible. Can't just take a glance and say it." Says, "Go for it." So the man who got out of the car says, "You have 362. The shepherd's jaw just drops. Unbelievable. You guessed it on the nose. How in the world could you guess that? And no, not even taking the time to count them, just looking at them at a glance. And the man says, "Well, I've always just had a thing with numbers. I've been good at math, and it's just a knack of mine." So, well, the shepherd says, "Fair is fair. Pick out which one you want." The man looks over the herd, looks over the flock, finds just the one he wants, puts it back in his car, gets ready to go, and the shepherd says, hold on, if I tell you where you went to school, will you give it back?" The man says, "Well, I suppose, you know, fair, turnabout's fair play." He says, "Go ahead." The man says, "You went to Texas A&M University. I says, "How did you know that?" He says, give me my dog back. At least you laughed. Okay. Well, we're talking about being a shepherd this morning, so I pulled that joke out of the filing cabinet. If there are any Aggies here, I don't apologize. I think it was funny. We can especially laugh at the families that moved down south a couple of years ago. They were Aggies, and they probably would have been laughing with us. But a faithful shepherd, someone who knows his sheep, someone who know his sheep and his sheep know him, as the Gospel of John tells us. Someone who's close to his sheep, someone who cares for his sheep, someone who leads his sheep. Now, I started off with a joke, and now I'm going to do even something more preachery. I have 3 points, and I'm sorry, I tried to get away from it, but they all start with the same letter. I don't mean to be so preachery on you, but we're going to go with it this morning. So 3 points, they all start with the same letter. The first one is lead. A good shepherd leads. A good shepherd takes the sheep where they need to go. Just like Psalm 23, leads me beside quiet waters, to fresh green grass, to exactly what the sheep need. He'll lead them to safety, lead them to food, lead them to everything that they need. Because the sheep, well, they could just try to go out and find it on its own, but that would be dangerous. There are predators about, and sheep generally aren't that capable of taking care of themselves. They need help. They need someone to guide them. They need someone to take care of them. They need someone to watch over them, and that's what a faithful shepherd does. He takes care of them. He watches over them. He leads them where they need to go. Verse 2 of 1 Peter chapter 4, what we just read for us. If you want to turn over there, we'll be referencing it a few times. 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 1 through 4. To the elders among you, I appeal as a fellow elder and a witness of Christ's sufferings, who also will share in the glory to be revealed. Be shepherds of God's flock that is under your care, watching over them, not because you must, but because you are willing, as God wants you to be, not pursuing dishonest gain, but eager to serve. Watching over them, protecting them. John chapter 10 talks about the thief climbs over the wall. The thief breaks in and steals. But the shepherd, he knows which sheep are his. And also, when the wolf comes, the hired hand runs away. He's not going to stand and fight a big bad wolf or a bear or a lion or anything else that might come upon him. You know, it's not worth it. If you're working at a convenience store and someone comes in to rob the store, well, you're told not to, but I would hope that no one would lay down their life on behalf of a convenience store, whether they owned it or not. But you would especially think that, well, a person who's just working there, you can have the money, take it. I'm not going to risk it. That's what I would do. And again, that's what you're told to do. That is the formal training that you receive, is to not try to fight against would-be attackers. But there have been instances, especially whenever the person behind the counter has owned the store, where he has been far less willing to give up his own property, far less willing to give up what was his. And then altercations and incidents have occurred. But Jesus is talking about the same thing with a shepherd, that if you're a hired hand, and here comes a ferocious, dangerous animal, are you going to sacrifice body, limb, life, property, in order to protect what isn't even yours? Or are you going to hightail it out of there? Well, normal people would just hightail it out of there. The sheep can, well, fend for themselves, or if a couple get lost, I'll go find a different job watching other sheep. But John chapter 10 says that Jesus is the good shepherd who lays down his life for the sheep. Jesus is the good shepherd who does what's necessary, who gives his life even up for his sheep because he cares for them, because he watches over them. And so a faithful shepherd, not just any shepherd. There are lots of people who had the job of being a shepherd in Bible times. Jesus honed in on the good one, on the one that loved his sheep, on the one that protected his sheep, cared for his sheep, was invested in his sheep, and wasn't just going to let anything happen to them. And so that's what a good shepherd of the church does, is lead. We often call them elders, because the Bible talks about them as elders. And an elder in the Bible time wasn't just in the church. In the Old Testament, it talks about elders, elders of the people. And then in several other places, it talks about elders sitting at the gate. That each town, their local city council, you might call it, was the elders of that town. And they would sit at the city gate. And there are 2 reasons to sit at the city gate. One was a convenient spot for people to find you. So if somebody had an issue they wanted to bring before you, if somebody had a lawsuit or needed to be resolved, or like Boaz and Ruth, Whenever Boaz wanted to take the hand of Ruth in marriage, well, there was a closer kin who she rightfully belonged to, if he would have her. And so he goes to the elders at the city gate and puts his case out there. And the other kinsman says, no, thank you. And Boaz takes her as his wife. If you're not familiar with that story, go back and read the book of Ruth. But they're sitting at the city gate so that people could approach them with their questions, with their legal issues that need to be resolved. The elders at the city gate, that was their responsibility. And so they would sit at the city gate all day long, just being available if someone needed their advice, their counsel, their help, or their judgment. But there's another reason to sit at the city gate, and that is you can see who's coming. And they can see if it's friend or foe that's coming. And if it's foe, the elders have the authority to say, shut the gates. Shut the gates. Keep them out. They protected their city. They protected the people of their city. And so whenever a foreign king was riding up, they would shut the gates. Like some of the foreign kings would say, pledge allegiance to me and you can live or not and I'll burn the city down. Well, the elders had to make that difficult decision to maintain allegiance to the king, David or Solomon, or whether to give up and to surrender. And different cities did different things at different times along the period of Israel's history. But they sat at the city gates because it was their job to protect the people. Most cities only had one gate. Jerusalem was a really big city, so it had several gates. But most of your smaller towns, your fortified towns, had one gate, one way in, one way out. And that's where they sat, and that's where they could either accept, welcome a stranger in and invite them in and treat them with hospitality, something we talked about a couple of weeks ago, or they can say, no, thank you, we don't want any here. And specifically, we don't want to become part of your empire, a part of your kingdom. We're not going to switch allegiances. We're going to defend our city, defend our town, and defend our loyalty to our king. But that was the job of the elders. And the same name, the same description, the same group, well, that's who is responsible for overseeing our churches. And now there's no physical threat that they must protect us from. Or that is not their job, even whenever there might be physical threats out there. Their job is to protect the spirit. Their job is to protect the soul. Their job is to watch over and protect and give guidance to and give leadership to the sheep, the people that need it, the people whom God has entrusted to their care. So number two, listen. A faithful shepherd leads and a faithful shepherd listens. And I can address this a little bit from being a father, because this isn't my best characteristic, my best trait when it comes to my children. Lisa says sometimes I bark at them, and that's true. Whenever I hear sometimes their interactions with each other, I think, oh no, they're acting like me. None of you ever think that, right? But sometimes I'm like, take out the trash. But I say, no, I don't want to hear that. I want to hear, yes, sir, go and do it. Very, you know, I want automatic, timely obedience. I don't want there to be a half a second that goes by before they're not up and doing what I want them to do. But the thing is, sometimes they might have a legitimate reason and say, but Mom wanted me to unload the dishwasher. Well, I should listen. At least, you know, and not bark so quickly, not jump to the conclusion so quickly, not demand, you know, be so extreme in what I demand of them. I should listen because there might be something I can learn or I could appreciate or I need to know in order to better help them, in order to better father them. Well, a faithful shepherd of the Lord's church doesn't just lead, doesn't just tell people what to do. A huge part of that is listening. A huge part of that is being open and wanting to know and understand where someone else is coming from, not just telling them, okay, go A to B to C to D to E and follow this, you know, outline I've laid out for you. That's not it. It's more of working together. In order to work together, you have to listen. You have to be open. And 1 Peter chapter 5 speaks to that as well. In verse 3, not lording it over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. Not lording it over them. not being a tyrant, not being just someone who tells someone what to do, but someone who listens, someone who appreciates, someone who pays attention, someone who cares, someone who reflects. And sometimes that's all somebody needs, is just a listening ear. Just someone to bounce an idea off of, or someone to have a good, deep conversation with. And that's what a good shepherd should do, because a good shepherd, the shepherd out with his literal sheep, he might say, okay, it's time to go get a drink of water. You have 5 minutes to drink the water, okay, we're done. Now go over here to this grass and eat the grass. Well, that's just not how it works. He has to pay attention to if the sheep are hungry, if the sheep are thirsty, to what the sheep need. Being sensitive to those things, listening, paying attention. A good shepherd doesn't just, you know, order around his flock, but he takes into consideration their needs and their desires and their wishes and what they're up to and what they can do and what they can't do. Being sensitive to those that he's leading. In John chapter 10, verse 3. I already mentioned, Jesus said, the sheep hear my voice and they know me. They respond to me because they know me. It's not so much they respond to me because I'm harsh. It shouldn't be that they respond to me because they're afraid of my staff. In the 23rd Psalm, it says, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. The sheep aren't afraid of the staff. The sheep know that the staff is there for their protection. They're not afraid of the staff. They follow the shepherd because they know his voice. Because they know him, because they trust him, and because the shepherd knows them and cares for them and watches over them. And one more, love. We could say a shepherd loves his sheep, but that's actually not the point I want to make. A shepherd should love his sheep, but the only way he's really going to do that is if he loves the true shepherd. I was just talking to my mom yesterday, and we've talked about it several times over the phone over the past month. She's restoring my brother's old 1969 Charger. Some of you know that. And she's getting it close now. She thinks maybe in another month or two she'll actually have it. The guy's been working on it and doing a really good job, and she's telling me all the stuff he was doing. But I remember that the first time I got to drive it, whenever my brother was still alive, and he let me drive it a little ways, and I was nervous. Because my brother loved that car. And I was afraid what I might do to that car. And I was afraid, and I wanted to treat that car just as special as he treated it, because I thought it was pretty cool. We watched Dukes of Hazzard together as little kids. That's what made him want to buy it in the first place. But when he finally got it, oh, he loved that car. And a little bit of that just couldn't help but rub off on me. And, you know, it's not like, okay, I get to do whatever I want. I get to trash it out because it's not mine. No, exactly the opposite. Because I appreciated the person who it truly belonged to, then I showed it even more respect, even more reverence, even more care, even more love. And so a shepherd doesn't, a hired hand, why would he stay and lay down his life for the sheep if he's not the true shepherd, if he doesn't own the sheep, if he loves the one who does? If he loves the one who's in charge and knows that he wants to please him, make him happy. That kind of a servant, that's a good shepherd. And that again is in 1 Peter chapter 5. Verse 4. And when the chief shepherd appears, referring to Christ, you will receive the crown of glory that will never fade away. Who are you working for? What are you doing it out of? What motivates you? Verse 2. Be shepherds of God's flock. See, it's not your flock. Be shepherds of God's flock that is under your care, watching over them, not because you must, but because you are willing, because you want to please God. Because you are willing as God wants you to be, not pursuing dishonest gain, but eager to serve the one who has called you to that role, who has called you to that job. A faithful servant, a faithful shepherd, is a faithful servant and loves first and foremost his master. And therefore, that love will translate into how he interacts with the sheep, with all those around him, with all those who have been entrusted into his care. And if that's the driving motivation, then it's not a matter of competence. Then it's not a matter of ability. It's a matter of willingness. It's a matter of, you know, the reason I want to do this, the reason I am willing to do this, it's not because I'm the best person ever. No, it's because I love the Lord and I love His church. And that's the motivation that should drive all faithful shepherds of the church. And the thing is, being a faithful shepherd is a difficult task. Because, well, the younger kids went across next door, I can say the S word, because sheep are stupid. Being a shepherd's hard work because sheep don't always cooperate. Sheep don't always do what they're supposed to do. And Scripture speaks to this, not calling us stupid, but referring to the idea that it can be hard work to be an overseer. It can be a difficult and challenging job. Therefore, don't make it any harder than it has to be. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Turn back there with me. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 12 and 13. Now we ask you, brothers, to acknowledge those who work hard among you, who care for you in the Lord, and who admonish you. Now that could be any number of people. That, not just the formal recognized elders and shepherds of a congregation. That can be ministers. It can also just be the active members, you know, going about their work, trying to serve, the deacons. It can be a whole slew of people. Anyone who takes any kind of responsibility on themselves in order to help the church will appreciate them for it. And specifically, when it says those who care for you and the Lord, well, that's the primary job of the shepherd, of the elder. Verse 13, hold them in the highest regard and love because of their work. Live in peace with each other. Appreciate them. Hold them in high regard. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 17. Just a couple of books over. Very similar idea. Have confidence in your leaders and submit to their authority because they keep watch over you as those who must give an account. Do this so that their work will be a joy. Do this so that their work will be a joy, not a burden. Because it can quickly be a burden. Can quickly turn into a burden. Anytime you work with people, it's challenging. It's difficult because people are challenging and difficult. And we just bring more of that into the mix whenever we step into that role. But so that it's a joy and not a burden, try your best. Submit to them. Do this so that their work will be a joy, not a burden. For that would be of no benefit to you. If the shepherd, I can only imagine, I get the idea of my kids like to do practical jokes and do pranks and stuff. Occasionally they like to get me. But how silly it would be if all the shepherd, if all the sheep in the fold, in the flock, start pulling practical jokes on the shepherd. Stop making life hard on them. Start doing things that are challenging to him. Start doing things that injure him. Hey, let's set this trap. He'll break his leg. Well, not a smart thing to do if you're relying on them to take care of you. You don't want to make things harder on those who are watching over you, watching out for you. You want to make things easier. That's exactly what Hebrews chapter 13 is talking about. Make things easier. Now that doesn't mean those verses talking about submit and make their job less of a burden, that doesn't mean that we'll agree with them all the time. Mike, Marianne, I'm sad to say I don't always agree with you. But that doesn't change the relationship. That doesn't change the responsibility. That doesn't change the role and the fact that they are still my overseers. They are still those that watch out for me and care for me and keep my best interest in mind and keep yours as well. And that I respect that position, even if I might wish they might be do things a little bit differently now and then. No. Whenever we affirm our elders, whenever we acknowledge their position over us, we're not saying they're perfect men and they're doing everything just right like we would want them to. We're saying they're men we trust, men we appreciate, and men we thank. And that's exactly what we're going to do right now. If somebody, Zach, we go and get the kids and tell them to come back and thank you. Have them come back. And while they're on the way over, we're going to do a little bit of what we sometimes do after baptism, and that is we're going to make a circle. So stand up and move to the outside wall. We'll just make a big circle around the auditorium. Now, if you're visiting with us today, we're very grateful for you visiting with us, and we're doing things a little bit differently today, so bear with us. But we encourage you to take part with us as well. Because the first thing we're going to have do is have Mike and Marion stand in the center of this circle. And what I want to do is affirm them as our elders. We'll wait for the rest of the kids to come back in. But Mike Kinzel and Marion Burnside are the two elders here at this congregation. Daryl Lewis was formerly an elder, but stepped down several years ago. So Mike and Marion are our two current serving elders. So kids, come in and join our circle. I wanted everybody to take part in this, so I wanted the kids to come back. Thank you, Zach, for getting them. Oh, I'd run craft time. I'm sorry. Now we're going to do a little bit of a responsive thing here. I'm going to say a statement, and then the response is, thank you. Being an elder can often be a thankless job, and so we're taking time today to say thank you. And so I'll read an attribute or a quality about them, and then the response in return, as a whole, as a group, I want us to say thank you. So let's do that now. So to our elders, for caring enough about our souls to watch over them, thank you. For being men we can look up to as an example in life and faithfulness,
thank you.
For stepping in and doing your best when the need prompted it, thank you. For laboring in an often thankless job, thank you. For putting up with our weaknesses and frailties, thank you. And now we're also going to appoint, recognize a new elder. So Mark, come out and join them. And we are excited to have Mark joining our shepherds and becoming a shepherd along with Mike and Marion. And I want to at this time affirm Mark personally as our new elder. And so the same thing. None of my clicks worked a while ago. Okay, here we go. To our new elder, Mark, for stepping forward and taking on this responsibility,
thank you.
For being a man who has lived a life appropriate for the position,
thank you.
And for the care and labor and stress that await you,
thank you.
And we do appreciate you three men, and we look forward to what the future may hold. And now, I would like them to each say a prayer over us. I think Marion will go first, and then Mike, and then Mark. So let's bow together and pray with our shepherds.
I got something I want to say first of all.
Okay.
Somebody asked me if we had to have M for the beginning of our first name. I told them no. Would you pray with me? Father, we thank you for this day and this congregation and this opportunity we have to gather together. And we thank you, Father, that we have this opportunity to serve you and do our best to lead this congregation. We'd ask you to be with us and guide us and help us and also be with our congregation. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen.
Our most wonderful and our loving Father in heaven, we are blessed to be called your children. That is the most wonderful blessing of all. The next most wonderful blessing is being able to love you and to prove our love to you and bring glory to you through our daily lives. And that's our prayer, that's something that each one of us can always do. The next best blessing is being able to love each other and be loved by each other. Father, as we reach out to you as a family, as a congregation, we pray that you would watch over us, that you would protect us, help us as shepherds to protect the rest of the flock. But God, help us to always understand and know that the only reason we do what we do is because of our love for you. And our love for you is only because of your love for us. So we pray that whatever we do, God, we always do with your glory in mind. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you at this time acknowledging that you are the one true and living God, and thanking you for your Son, Jesus, who you gave as a gift to each and every one of us to bear our sins on that hill of Calvary. And Heavenly Father, we ask that each day we have on this earth that you would walk with us, strengthen us, and help us to live our lives in a manner that honors and respects the sacrifice that was made for each and every one of us. And Heavenly Father, we also know that in your eyes, not one of us is held in higher regard or is more beautiful than another in your sight, but instead each of us has a purpose to profess your name and live in a way that pleases you. And we just ask that you'd help each of us to search in our daily lives to find that the meaning in our lives in a way that we can serve you in a way that you best see fit. And we just ask that you'd watch over this family here on Hickman Road, be with us throughout our lives, prepare us for a life with you in heaven. And this we ask it in your Son Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, gentlemen. Everybody else can go back to their seats. But you don't have to sit down. I'm just going to have you stand back up in a minute. So you just stand as we sing the invitation song. And as was pointed out in their prayers, and what I want to reinforce is that a faithful shepherd is what I had up there. Jesus is our faithful shepherd. Christ is the shepherd that does give us exactly what we need. He gives us life itself. And if you need that life that's available in Christ, if you need anything, we can help you with it all this morning. Won't you come as we stand and sing?